Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
John Batchelor with David Petrucia. His book is 1920, the year of the six presidents. Cox and Roosevelt are on the campaign trail. Harding initially thinks he's going to run a front porch campaign like McKinley, but he's a good speaker. He's an orator. Although there was that remark about how his speeches, he calls them bloviating, are in search of an idea. And when they find an idea, they take it prisoner and it can never escape. So I take it that his speeches weren't read from teleprompters. He was, what, a spontaneous speaker? Did he have a script?
Oh, I'm not sure if he spoke from notes or not, but he made, I visited his home in Marion, Ohio, finally. And I said, now, how did he get such a nice sort of, how did he manage to travel to Europe and do all these things when he had this little teeny newspaper? And the docent says, because he went on the Chautauqua circuit. And he earned quite a bit of money as a public speaker, which is really interesting considering the horrible reputation he has as a public speaker. But he has a very nice voice, which sounds sort of modern. You can listen to phonograph recordings of him. And he knows not to say anything which is going to get him into trouble. So he has a certain charm about him.
There's a scene, it's very sad, but it's vivid. Of Jimmy Cox and Frank Roosevelt going to meet with the president of the United States, Woodrow Wilson. And Wilson's in a chair, and I think he's so frail it frightens Cox and Roosevelt. Roosevelt shows up not in a suit, which he wears on other occasions. I've seen many photographs of him. He's very handsome, 6'2", blue eyes, slim. But he wears navy blazer and white pants to meet the president. It struck me as odd.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to show the proper amount of respect of how people would dress back then. But he's like the jaunty next generation of leadership or something or other. Cox takes the meeting a hell of a lot more seriously. And is moved by that meeting, and he comes away. That's when he flips to being so pro League of Nations and to making the league a big issue for the Democrats in that campaign, which frankly is a mistake. He should have nuanced it a bit more, but he goes all in after that point.
And the campaign, when you read about the campaign and the speeches, wet and dry were critical, understanding that. But the League was also critical. And at this time, the Republicans in the Senate are trying to make compromises with Wilson, have been trying to make them all year. Why is it that Wilson cannot acknowledge the compromises? What does he understand that they're making concessions in those compromises?
He doesn't want concessions. I think he's also afraid that if he goes back and has to renegotiate the treaties or this part of the treaties or the implementation of the League with the other European powers, that, you know, this might not work and the thing might just fall apart from that reason. But also it's a character flaw. He cannot brook interference with opposition. He gets a lot of progressive legislation through Congress when he has a big majority. He's very effective in that way. He's very effective his first year as governor of New Jersey with a Democrat Congress. But when there's opposition from the Republicans and he has to finesse things, he's horrible at that. He is not the president you want, you know, to negotiate with Congress.
We need to mention one other candidate whom he doesn't become president. We're concentrating on the six presidents, but it's important to mention that Eugene Debs is a candidate in 1920, has less than a million votes. But Eugene Debs has a great deal to say about the future, because his idea of socialism will become what we accept as normal today, including Social Security.
Well, you take a look at his platform. It doesn't seem all that radical today because we're living under it. But he has a little bit of a problem campaigning that the others don't.
Yes. Let's speak to that when we come back. David Petrucha, the book is 1920, The Year of Six Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.